Hello, welcome to Discover Energy Work. I'm with Ben Sanchez again, and the reason is because he's blowing my mind. I mean, I'm not sure how much of this was on our podcast last time, but I feel like I met somebody who's, you know how it is when you meet somebody and you feel like they've had experiences which are similar to mine, and sometimes experiences which is a little bit like more advanced than mine. I'm like, oh, wow, this is, I really love hearing it. So welcome back, Ben. I'm really, really thrilled to have you. It was a little difficult, but we made it. And you know, things that are worth doing are worth persevering with.
Absolutely, man. And yeah, I feel a similar way. There's a bit of kismet going on. And like, I really enjoyed the process last time. And I apologize that it took us a few days to sort of meet and connect, but you know, it's late evening here, it's morning for you, I think. And
Yeah.
you know, I think we've caught each other at a good time. Really looking forward to having another chat, and really
Well,
looking forward to meeting soon and doing some training.
what I was, you know, before we sort of I pressed record, I was like loving what you were saying about. I was expressing, you know, my book, Kaiji Energetics, which is about like you come to your center, you relax and kind of enter a Wu Wei state, and then wherever you've got tension, that is the part. If you're in balance, it's going to be any part which is bringing out a balance on any level is going to express itself. Yeah. And you started talking and I was like, stop talking. I've got to record this. This is great. I'm sure people would love to hear it. So I don't know if we can like go back in the recording. Spool what you were saying back and tell us, like, you said something like you've got a client, he's got a physical block, and then you do your Fa Jing, which is like an expression of internal power, and then what Fa Jing is probably, you know, a whole episode, but and then like you said, it's almost like doing that person doing Qigong or Tai Chi for a period of time. Is that what you were saying?
So yes, if with traditional Tai Chi postural work for health or for martial power, or Qigong, you know, talking like structural health, energetic health, physical health, circulation, and even like, you know, using that as a standing meditation for introspection, it's a long glacial process. And you know, if you practice, like, what's the old saying? Practice for 100 days and you'll understand the result, right? Like, practice for under 100 days and you'll understand why you were practicing, basically, instead of having like some teacher explain to you what it's all about at the beginning. You have to practice to see the results. The proof is in the pudding. And practice for like 10 years and you'll show some substantial benefit, and practice for 20 or 30 years and you might have very like enviable results that appear mysterious to other people. That's all well and good, but with the work I've been doing, using martial, like Tai Chi Chuan, martial Fa Jin, with the help of an assistant, and with like just years and years of like lab work and just treating thousands of people at this point, we're able to produce a lot of the same effects that someone will get from, like, you know, standing work under the guidance and correction of a teacher and like really, really dedicated practice. I can give someone like 2 years of progress with regard to alignment and liberty in the joints and blood flow and internal awareness. Like, the treatments we're doing create huge upticks in the client's internal awareness. Like, they feel like they have more pieces inside. They just, like, we do a lot of breath coaching and somatic coaching while they're on the table, 20, 30 minute session, but I'm constantly like working them through a guided meditation while I'm like ripping parts of their body open. And
let's say we're not physically ripping parts of their body open, but energetically.
Physically, I mean, yes and no. Yes and no. Okay. So imagine
there's no breaking of the skin.
No. It's decalcification of connective tissue.
Yeah.
And if you Google calcification of connective tissue, there's, you know, you'll find a whole medical Wikipedia or WebMD on that.
Yeah.
But say, like, for example, a knee, right? Right. Here's the knee joint. it's supposed to go like this, and it's connected by ligaments. When you exert force from the head down to the foot, you can affect an opening, a momentary opening, an elastic explosion in the knee, and straighten all of the ligaments in the joint in one moment. Like, it happens as fast as snapping your fingers, or I'll tell you something, like, you know how with a silly putty, if you pull it slowly, it'll stretch and kind of like pull like a goo, like a toffee.
Yes.
But if you pull it very quickly, it'll separate along a plane. Like, it'll snap apart.
Yes.
Very much in the same way, if you just kind of like gently pull on someone's joint, you know, you might create some little space with that traction, but if you add a very sharp acceleration curve to the force, kind of like when you crack a bullwhip, you can overcome a lot of the natural rigidity of what should be an elastic joint. And you can certainly overcome all of the calcification in that ligament and open the joint at once. And that will decalcify all of the connective tissue in the joint instantly. Like, if best metaphor I've been able to think of is if you dipped a bit of a towel in water and then froze it and then took it out, you could spend, you know, minutes and minutes trying to like take a hammer and crush into all the little individual bits of the ice, or you could stretch the towel and then tap it once and watch the stretch, the bilateral stretch across the center point, create a chain reaction, all the ice shatter at the same time. So that's kind of what's going on in the joint, where we're putting corrective vectors across the joint while pulling downwards through the foot with an internal technique, a fajin, that is designed to deliver an omnidirectional expansive force at the contact point for like just an instant. So you've got opening, omnidirectional opening, like when Agent Smith and Neo like fly up in the third movie and they hit each other and all the rain just goes out and then falls back down. There's a moment of opening, and in that moment, the assistant is putting a corrective vector across the joint, or, you know, across a vertebra or a rib or what have you. And at the same time, there's also that superior inferior pull down the midline. And those two things, I mean, like, you're pulling someone along their vertical axis at the same time that horizontal corrective vectors are being exerted, while there's like a burst of power opening the joint and decalcifying everything, sometimes down to the root of the ligament. You know, you can affect pretty remarkable results. And I'm giving a talk on this at a convention, like a Tai Chi Qigong convention for integrative medicine, that's being put on by the Osher Center, which is a collaboration of Harvard Medical and Brigham Women's Hospital. And I'm going to be talking about this as like I think the title of my symposium is Breakthrough for Idiopathic Scoliosis Using Medical Applications of Tai Chi Chuan, because there are a few things that I can do that not a lot of people, I mean, anyone who uses my technique, you know, or anything like it, like a two-person technique that uses traction down through the feet while exerting corrective vectors, it, you know, that is the general sort of trick, and using internal fajin. But using this technique, I think pretty much anyone who's properly trained can do a few things that are beyond the conventions of non-operative medicine.
Right.
Beyond the ken of your, what you would expect from like a normal chiropractor or osteopath. And two of those things are, I've done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I can instantly reset an injured joint, whether it's chronic or whether it's recent. I'll tell you one story. It's an anecdote, but you know, it's a
Anecdotes is what we learn from. I mean, I'm into stories.
I'm actually trying to get a study with like X-ray evidence of before and after. Like, imagine seeing a drastically scoliotic spine on X-ray, and it says, you know, 10 a.m. and then seeing the same person, like the same name on the card, and it says like 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. same day.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely straight. I've done that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at this point, but I don't have the X-ray evidence. So I'm trying to set up and with anybody I can to do a study where I get people who are diagnosed with idiopathic scoliosis to come in after getting an X-ray the same day, get the treatment, and then go and get that. And I would like to have like 100 pairs of before and after images like that to present.
You know what occurs to me is what would be really interesting, because I worked with the visceral fascia. I spent a long time at a company in Hong Kong called Fascia Clinic, and I would work with correcting the lung, correcting the liver, because the ligaments, these internal organs, are also pulling the external frame out of place. Yeah. So that once you work, in fact, it's an interesting concept that you might be able to apply the same concepts you're using for the bones, for the internal organs, understanding the ligamentous, what we call ligaments, the ligamentous connections that you have of the organs to each other. And they're so extreme. The fascia, I mean, Fascia Clinic, fascia was my thing. So the fascia system is so incredibly interconnected. Always say, like, if somebody's got a neck pain, chances are it's a gut problem, yeah? And if you work on their gut, their neck pain disappears, yeah? Because we have the phrenic nerve. Phrenic nerve is where we get the word schizophrenic, actually. Is this nerve which comes down from C3 to C5. It innervates the diaphragm in what they call motor innervation of the diaphragm, but the senses is of the gut. So we have gut problems and you get a tight neck because of the phrenic nerve. It's fascinating. And I think I'm just postulating, hypothesizing.
No, that is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that there's an incredible, like, explosive, in the same way of Tai Chi. You know, Tai Chi energy is non-polarized, so we can express it as a circle. Potential for what you're doing with other applications. So I'm so excited to just get there and get with you and see what you're doing. I'm really excited.
I'm really looking.
Maybe we'll make a YouTube documentary about it.
Okay, sure. I'm sort of camera timid, you know, but I'm trying to get over that. But yes, sure, whatever you want to do is fine. I'll say this. I went to the first half of grad school. I didn't finish for TCM, and I did like a full traditional medical shiatsu course. And you know, we would do organ insertions, like just doing like deep acupressure into the center of the liver or the spleen or the kidneys or into like the psoas through the front of the belly. And we would like hold those until the nerve cluster in question gives up and you feel like that sort of like pan-organal fascial release where the liver basically goes and just lets go. And so I love to have an assistant I'll show them the same like organ insertions and I'll pull to that point. Cause I mean, man, if you're pulling on someone's ankle, you're pulling on the web of ligaments, tendons, and fascias all the way up. And if you're pulling on 2 feet, it's really easy to triangulate. And so you can definitely hit organ centers. However, what you're saying is really interesting to me because I'm not into like, I mean, I credence it obviously, and I mean, like, I'm aware, but like, I'm always doing just like direct local strikes. Like, there's the target area, let's bomb that area. And you know, I'm not treating the body in terms of like, I'm already working on an indirect level, so I'm not doing like triple indirect where like I'm touching the feet to hit the liver in order to alleviate like a pain in the shoulder, even though they are connected via like gallbladder points. But yeah, it would be really interesting to see where we can go with that. And the other reason I don't do like indirect point to point like that is because like if someone has a pain in their neck, I'll just, you know, have the assistant hold a point in the neck and then I'll blast it through feet, or I'll have them hold the feet and I'll touch the neck and, you know, stretch the neck a little bit and then just send chi that way and open it up through there. And so I can usually treat points pretty directly, pretty effectively.
Yeah.
But that would be a really fascinating study. Like I, you know, you and me could like drink some tea and listen to some music and just like go through all of the interconnected points and I'll absorb that data like a computer. That would be really, really fun, man.
That's cool. Actually, I think that what is how can I say so refreshing about you for me? Okay, because I was with these fascia guys, and they'd say there's no energy. They're forget energy, and I'm like, wait a minute, like you don't feel inside the body, like you don't feel these small things inside the backside of the liver and so on, unless you're feeling outside your body. That's already energy, yeah, because we don't have sensory organs outside of our body, yeah. So feeling something is obviously, like you could say, it's a sixth or seventh or eighth or whatever sense. And I'm fascinated to hear a little bit more about, because if I said to her, if you taught a chiropractor, they wouldn't be able to do what you're doing. So can you, is there a way you can express to people the development process that they maybe would need to go through, or what they need to feel, or the difference between, you know, Jing and a HVLA, so high velocity, low amplitude crack of the neck that a normal osteopath or chiropractor would do?
So one of my favorite like in practice jokes that I say winkingly, tongue in cheek, because you know some of my best friends are chiropractors.
Sure.
So I know some very outstanding chiropractors or say people who go from massage to Rolfing to structural integration. Structural integration, I've seen really impressive hands, really impressive hand skill in structural integration. And like the school of corrective chiropractic specifically is hugely impressive. And osteopaths tend to be they're more of an MD than a chiropractor. They tend to be a little better trained. And like an osteopath who has been an osteopath for more than 10 years and has explored alternative means, there's some seriously impressive osteopaths out there. And I could teach literally anyone who's apt to be trained, like intelligent enough, willing enough, follows instructions, whatever. Any apt student, great film, by the way, apt student, apt pupil with, what's his name? The guy who played Gandalf. It does not matter. Anyone who's fit to be trained, I can work walk through this process. I'm training a couple people right now. It's the first time I've tried to train anyone in a couple years, but they've only been here for like 5 days and they've come a long way in five. I mean, granted, we're training like all day, every day, and as an intensive, and they came here to train as a pair, but they're already doing splendidly well. And I'm really looking forward to writing them a little certificate so they can get insured and start practicing as like an alternative therapist, because it's not massage, it's not chiropractic, it's not osteopathy, it's purely a function of Tai Chi, is purely a medical application of traditional original Tai Chi Chuan, like martial Tai Chi, not Tai Chi Qigong. And I'll make the distinction between Tai Chi Chuan and Tai Chi Qigong for anyone who's not familiar. Tai Chi Qigong is what most people who think they're doing Tai Chi do. And like if you ha if you're completely uninitiated and you hear the word Tai Chi, you might think of like grannies in the park waving their hands around to feel better about life somehow. And that's largely a function of the PRC using Tai Chi as a supplement to the social medicine that they promised and then couldn't afford once they won. But if you look at like the original, like the Yang school up until like the 1930s, they were hailed as the supreme martial artists of China. It was not, and nothing to do with, it was not a health program, it was not a wellness practice. They were handling the top martial art masters in the country like they were children. Like Yang Luchan was not just like Yang Sifu, he was known as Yang the Invincible, because he wouldn't just beat people, he would disable them, like completely overpower them, like a man, like a full-grown martial master fighting a five-year-old. There was no contest. And that, like, the focus there was not for health, and it was not about energy, except as a means to an end for having this like supreme ultimate fist, this Tai Chi Chuan. So I've heard it said, and I agree, that if you practice Tai Chi for health, i.e. Tai Chi Qigong, you don't really get the health benefits that you'd like to. A lot of it's placebo, a lot of it's buying into a philosophy, and you certainly don't get anything like a martial power, like real internal martial power. But if you practice Tai Chi Chuan, then, and you practice for, you know, internal power and skillful application thereof, not only do you get the power, but you actually get the real health benefit, because it's incredibly demanding. And so you get hale and hearty, you get internally, like internally and externally fit from practicing, like you would from swimming or anything else. But, you know, I think if you're looking for health, do swimming, do Pilates, you know, get lots of massage, like do stretching, do fitness practices, if that's what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for an elegant and transcendent way to overcome people who are stronger, younger, fitter, and faster and meaner than you with internal power and skill, look at Tai Chi Chuan, look at Bagua Chuan, look at, you know, some each one, whatever mm-hmm. works, you know, like, judge a teacher by the quality of their character and the results of their practice. Like, can, I'll say this, and I'm not bragging, but this is just facts. After my sort of primary discipleship, where I did a year-long intensive in Tai Chi Chuan and I got a lot out of it, I moved to Miami and I worked in a nightclub, a hip-hop nightclub in Miami Beach for like 3 years. And with no ego, I can say that I have put down on the ground, sitting dazed and bewildered, 6 NFL players, drunk and raging and like roiling and fighting.
So you're a bouncer, you're a doorman.
Yes, using nothing but Tai Chi Chuan. I put 6 NFL players on, I put 3 on the ground, and I turned 3 around and sent them dazed back into the party, not knowing where they were, with 2 movements that were effortless for me, you know? And not all of my life is that easy, but like every single physical encounter I've had has been, I don't know about everybody, but, you know, and I'm not a particularly high level compared to some of the people that I've seen. I could name people who are, I would have no chance with, you know, touching hands. Like their internal skill is vast compared to mine, but with what little I've been able to attain, my experience with larger, more powerful people, or, you know, people who have been training like Viet Vo Dao, Hungar, Kempo, like these Krav Maga, really like nasty, like kill you, break your bones, take your eyes kind of vicious external martial systems, like which are focused on doing harm. I have handled, or like US Marine MCMAP instructors. I've had them punch at my body until they were blue in the face with no effect. I've handled people like that, like they were children. Proper internal martial arts creates such an overwhelming advantage that it feels that a martial arts master feels like a child in your hands. Their strikes have little to no effect. They become very easy to move, incredibly easy to like knock out or stun or bewilder physically. And their ability to move you is next to nothing at all, you know? And all of that fairly easy, like fairly effortless. Hell, I've had times like in Thailand where I've had to dump motorcycle, you know, scooters, because everybody's driving scooters in Thailand. But there have been several times in Thailand where I had to like dump a scooter and to avoid running like into the back of a truck or something coming around those mountain roads.
Right.
And like, you know, just as a panic reflex, I sort of defaulted into standing posture and my whole body just bounced off the road and then boop, 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 landed on my feet. No damage whatsoever, like no internal structural damage, no jarring, like, you know, lost a dime's worth of skin on the elbow. But, and that's happened routinely. I've had people do like running, flying kicks on my body and bounce off like they hit a tree. There's a lot going on. There's a lot more going on with martial arts than theories of energy, that like scholarly discussions.
Yes.
But unless you're putting it to the test in a safe, contained lab environment to develop real skill with people who want to help you develop and get it, I could see it being like impossible. Like if you went and like just watched people doing internal martial arts and then went and copied their forms to the best of your ability based on what you saw, you'd glean nothing, 5-10% at most. You know, you have to have someone explain it to you in depth with compassion, even like love, like transmission of the internal martial arts, again, in my very limited experience, requires a real genuine desire to transmit the whole skill to another person, or even like a drop of it. And even then, like the person has to be putting the vectors and the pressures on you and like letting you feel what's going on and letting and like putting your hands on the teacher so that they can feel what's happening and try to copy it inside. And even then, it's quite a long process. Like it is like what the Buddha said about the Dharma, it is subtle and hard to grasp. So the only people that I think have a shot at learning, at like having any accomplishment or any attainment in any of the internal arts, Aikido, Baji, whatever, you know, Liuhubafa, Pigwa, the student has to be an apt student to begin with. Like it has to be a person who is intelligent, somatically talented, of the right character, like patient and like re a real desire to learn. You know, like it's hard to find a good student. And hell, a lot of the people who are good students and get it then don't necessarily make good teachers. So it's you know, there's a reason why there aren't a ton of like really advanced internal martial arts practitioners walking around out there. There's relatively few. There's 100 million people doing Tai Chi Chuan or Tai Chi worldwide. I don't know. Maybe 10,000 max. I'm guessing, but like, or maybe like 1,000 practicing like Tai Chi Chuan, Tai Chi. Oh, maybe 10,000 practicing like traditional martial internal. And of those, the you know, the number of people who achieve real high level stuff, the low hundreds, 100 maybe. Like it's and then you know, the higher the skill level goes, the lower the number of people who actually get there. And like ultimately it doesn't matter, you know, like it doesn't matter how far you go, but like the direction you're going in, you know, going in the right direction bears its own fruits. And I will say this, like after having learned medical applications and having spent a number of years refining it and, you know, augmenting it, adding to it, subtracting, like just kind of making it my own, I've reached the point where kind of like I love martial practice. I love external martial practice. I love internal martial practice. The same way that people, you know, love like salsa dancing or throwing darts or playing golf. Like it's a diversion and a hobby, and I love the people I play with, but I don't, it's not important anymore compared to like fixing people. Using internal martial arts to again do a few things that I can do that I have not seen as widespread promised results from chiropractors and osteopaths. I can straighten idiopathic scoliosis in minutes. I can reset or erase most joint injuries that don't involve a severed ligament or tendon or broken skin or broken bone. You know, it's just like bad twists, things like motorcycle accidents, car crashes, whiplash, things of that nature, where it's just a massive derailment of the structure, a huge misalignment from trauma. I can make that go away joint for joint instantly by applying the right amount and speed and direction of internal power to the joint. It just opens all the ligaments simultaneously and then lets it set, and all the bones are back where they're supposed to be. All the ligaments have been stretched to the original position. And like, you know, maybe a
I'm
bit of the
excited, dude.
bones are
I'm
gone.
very excited about it as a as I mean, I think I almost sort of for the second episode, I'd say, a new approach using Tai Chi in therapy. Yeah. In or therapeutically, I mean, I can't think of the words right now, but it's
As a
also,
treatment,
it's exciting for me that you're kind of, how can I say, raising the bar a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like it's fine to, you know, do your HVLA, but there is a way of putting a non or a multi-directional or a kind of like a neutral force into a joint, which will give a like a it's a different level of kinesthetic, as in feeling, kinesthetic
yes.
skill, and
Yes,
a new level
absolutely.
Of perception, and then a new level of let me say, I want to say force production or force release, you know, I mean, and is it really right to use force for Jing? I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's one of those, I always feel like, I was talking to a guy this morning. I said, you know, I tried to translate Chinese and it gets difficult just because the words are pictures. It's just very, very difficult. So, yeah. I kind of gave up trying to translate.
You spent quite a bit of time in China, didn't you?
I 12 years in Hong Kong. I mean, you know, it's
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And then I was 89, I met Lu Jintuan. And so this is interesting because when Lu Jintuan would talk about Tai Chi, he would say, well, you can represent it with the circle because the energy is non-polarized. So you could say it is in all directions. And there's it's hard to describe, but this is where he was talking about a Tai Chi culture, and he would say, well, he would use Tai Chi acupuncture, for example, where he would say, yeah, you if you get to a certain level, he can teach you, because if you've got the perception, he can teach you to Tai Chi acupuncture in 5 minutes. Because it's about the feeling. So if you say, you could come to him with $100,000, you know, US dollars and say, I want to learn it. He say, okay. And then you check, he said, no, well, I can't teach you. Not because, yeah, it's because you have to reach a certain level of skill to be able to take yep. it on.
It's like trying to teach pool to someone with no arms, billiards. I mean, like, how would you teach billiards to someone with no arms? Like can't.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
You asked earlier about like to break down the process, and I'd like to do that very briefly. Like, if you can throw darts, or if you could yank the curtains off a wall, and if you can envision doing those two things at the same time, like kind of like someone does like two separate things at the same time, then I can definitely teach you to do this. As succinctly as possible, the method consists of palpation diagnosis of the structure after a client has been placed on a medical bed, a massage bed, and stretched out. That's the first thing. You pull the person long, and then you can check like the balance of the hips, the rotation of the hips, the relative position of the sacrum, whether it's shifted in any direction or rotated, checking the coccyx, checking all of the vertebrae, checking the ribs, and just using your fingers like someone would read Braille, you can read the relative position of the bones, you know, eyeballing the midline, and tell whether the hips are aligned, say the alignment between the ilium and the sacrum. You can tell where all of the vertebrae are and if they're scoliotic, lordotic, or kyphotic. If there's discompression, if there's rotation in the vertebra, all these things. I'm looking forward to showing you actually. Like once you get here, like I'll put you know a test body. Like there's no end of friends in the area who are like, it's like, oh, do you need help training someone? They'll hop on the table, and right. You can feel you can feel where everything is once you know where to look. So palpation diagnosis is the first big part of it. And any chiropractor or osteopath knows how to tell if something's out of alignment. Yeah. And then whatever is out of alignment, you simply have your, excuse me, I had a beer after training tonight. It's coming back. Once you know what the misalignment is, you just apply a straight vector counter to the misalignment, a corrective vector, and that's the assistant's job. And then the primary practitioner pulls downwards through both feet or one foot, depending on what it is in the body, to make a horizontal connection, assuming the person's on a medical bed, from the contact point that the assistant is pushing downwards through the foot. And that horizontal connection is established and then released and then pulled back very rapidly, like with acceleration, kind of like trying to crack a whip. Or imagine if we're both pulling a jump rope and I want to pull the jump rope out of your hand, right? It's better if it's slack and then I go to taut very quickly. It'll yank it right out of your hand. But that's just the horizontal connection. In addition, completely separate, as per like doing two separate physical engrams at the same time, one is producing internal power like you would do with An or Peng or Ji or any of the eight energies, which is basically like, you know, opening the mind and the energy and the body and then collapsing it. So you go from yang to yin very quickly. Like imagine the whole universe, like imagine the reverse of the Big Bang, the entire universe coming back to one finite point instantly. On a mental level, that's what you're doing. Physically, you're also dropping down through the body, like a boxer sits to produce power when they hit.
Yeah.
So, but again, that is completely divorced from what's happening in the hands. You know, like very solid root, but cloud hands. There's a separation between the hands and the body. And the openness, the relaxation, the arms is separated and loose specifically so it can translate the downwards and collapsing power, that yin implosion, that instant yin implosion shockwave to produce the fajin, gets translated across the very fast accelerated snap that you're making to the contact point. And it creates like an echo of the fajin in the body at the far end of the horizontal elastic connection. So where the assistant is pushing, there is like an opening burst of power. And whatever vector the assistant is pushing on has a moment of pure opening in which to express, at the same time that medial force is being applied inferior downwards through the body. So the structural correction is happening in the context of the whole body with respect to gravity. Like it's enhancing your posture, lengthening your posture.
Yep.
At the same time that corrective vector the assistant is pushing is also given a chance to express freely, as opposed to like a chiropractor has to like twist you and then like leap on top of you to make things crack. Yep. Most of the things I do, there's no crack. But when I say like I pull someone, if someone's hips are tilted and they have pelvic obliquity so that one leg is longer than the other, you know, and the assistant pushes down on the hip and I stretch to that point and then go, yeah, and like, you know, throw a little fudge in, all of the connective tissue between the spine, like in the QL that's holding the hip up chronically, is overwhelmed and overcome, and it just boom, just falls down straight and stays there like 99 times out of 100. In the cases of idiopathic scoliosis, sometimes like a spinal curvature to one side can be highly regressive, so it'll curve back like before your eyes. But those are 1 in 100 cases, and we can train that out by just holding it and holding the person open. But for the most part, it's a lot like shooting pool. Like imagine being able to move pretty much any bone in the body, especially any bone in the hips and spine, back to center, back to like the ideal position as easily as you shoot pool. Once you know the technique, again, like you know, once you have a certain level of proprioception and internal awareness and like, you know, like once you have embodied concepts of internal arts enough, like someone's like, show me a Tai Chi master, a longtime Tai Chi practitioner, and I can teach them to apply what I do in a matter of days. And then, you know, but there's a difference between teaching someone and training someone. So you can teach someone anything in minutes. If it's one principle, one mechanic, like clap your hands, like, you know, you can teach anyone anything, any individual piece very, very quickly, but training someone is a different matter. Like getting it to the point where it's at the level of physical instinct and getting to the point where someone knows a complete system and can run through a whole protocol of structural fixes in their sleep, basically, or, you know, like without having to think about, oh, what's the next thing I need to check? That's different. That just takes, that just boils down to repetition. What to train and how to train it, teach the person what the correct thing to do is, and then stay on them with corrections until you're pretty sure that they're doing it correctly and that you can step away. And then that person has to keep training it and training it and training it and training it. Just endless repetition until it becomes right. What they are.
Right.
Like, you don't do Tai Chi, you are Tai Chi by the end.
Understand. Yeah. That's a wow. I mean, I think it's exciting. I think when you explain it, what I think you're getting over is there is a nuance to it. It's not pulling the legs while somebody's putting in a transverse force or whatever. You know, it's way more than that, and it's very nuanced, and it sounds exciting.
It looks like that, but yeah, like the internal. There's what the internal looks like, and then what the internal actually is.
And it sounds a little bit. I mean, I don't know if anyone else is thinking it when they listen to it. It sounds like, in a way, you're doing like body work, you'd call it a recoil, and setting kind of like a trauma that then, you know, like you wind something up and then you suddenly release it. Yeah, that's a recoil. And then the trauma, after trauma, people just kind of go, oh, yeah, they kind of like relax, but it's different as well. So, I'm excited. I'm so excited to learn more.
Yeah, about. Absolutely. Like it is martial power. Like, you're applying martial power, but like micro doses of martial power. Like, you must.
Microdosing. I like that. Microdosing gin.
Yeah. Micro doses of gin. That's a whole nother realm. You have to subscribe to, like, you know, the Hippocratic Oath and do no harm. But I mean, does the surgeon wielding a scalpel satisfy the Hippocratic Oath? He's cutting into flesh, like he sews you back up again. But, like, okay, consider for a moment the corrective surgeries for scoliosis. Cases of congenital scoliosis, sure, it's about the only thing that could possibly work, because you have to get in there and, like, saw through various bones and correct the shape of how the body is grown. But with idiopathic scoliosis, like, I can straighten a case of idiopathic scoliosis. Any case of idiopathic scoliosis on the planet, you know, I've got very high chances of straightening it within minutes. And beyond that, it's a sort of a bell curve of whether a person takes one session or five sessions. But I've never treated anyone that I could fix who I couldn't fix in five sessions. That's massive results compared to chiropractic and osteopathy. And two, like people are, the failure of today's non-operative options for idiopathic scoliosis specifically, it's kind of my focus, because that's where the system really is worlds beyond what's established. The failure of today's non-operative medical options typically remands people to surgery when, you know, like exercises like the Schroff method, or, you know, putting someone in a brace or doing chiropractic on someone fails to correct the alignment. They're like, okay, well, you know, let's go from these ultimately not super effective, I don't want to say non-effective, but like not terribly effective non-operative methods, and let's just jump right to surgery. And I don't know if you've ever Google imaged X-ray of idiopathic scoliosis surgeries, but it's kind of a horror show. They, like, cut open your whole back, they insert these long metal flex rods, they cram the vertebra horizontally together as much as they can, but there's still a lot of, like, minor corrugation, like there's still a lot of minor curvature. They sort of shove everything back in the middle, and oftentimes we'll just start going in there and fusing the whole thing. And even if it's a flexible fusion, like, that is a Frankenstein horror show that is, according to my experience, not really necessary, but for the poverty information, but for the lack of a technique that can do what this technique does. So yeah, that is kind of the idea. Like,
I'm your advocate, dude. I mean, I'll be
I'm really
supporting
looking forward
this.
to spreading
I
it.
think I'm excited about it. And I you know, the whole idea of Discover Energy work. I mean, I had a lady, even and I've had people who are professors of Western medicine who have talked about even when you have a genetic defect, there have been cases of people being cured. And that's where we're in a whole other realm. But even if we can start, I was talking to a friend this morning about it's so difficult to shift from, if you like, your paradigm where you see the world like this and somebody says, hey, yeah, you know, actually, if you just turn like this, you're going to see the world in a whole different way. Yeah. Like the Plato's cave, not Plato, Socrates's cave analogy, where people are seeing the world through a very, very, very tight slit. And of course there's way, way more. And I'm yeah, it's really exciting. We've already you've filled the time with you know, really interesting information. So we're gonna have to as I say, I would love to come over and maybe make a little kind of documentary. But I mean, it's just I
Welcome.
think it can inspire people. So if it's, I'll put the information that that you're happy for me to share, and you know, I invite people to come and learn this if I'm allowed to. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, like, come on over and I'll teach you as best I can, and like, hopefully, like, I can make you as good at it as I am, and you know, we'll talk. Like I'm a student of pedagogy. I'm fairly confident as a Tai Chi Chuan teacher, and like I've taught one person before. I'm teaching two people right, actually two people before, and I'm teaching two people right now. And yeah, I was reticent to teach until I'd spent a long time with the technique and sort of put enough into it of my own experience. Experience and all the other things that I've learned to really make it my own. But yeah, I'll be happy to show you openly how to do it, and I will train you until you can do it. You
Amazing.
know, all you have to do is stick with it. Yeah. I don't know, like I'd say like for a first blast, maybe just come over for a couple weeks, just hang out for a couple weeks, and we'll just go over it all the time. And you know, if you're doing it all day every day, it's not that hard to learn. Then, you know, go play with it for a while and then come see me in Colombia.
Amazing. Okay, mate. Well, we're going to say goodbye to the podcast and we'll have a
Thanks,
little
Kevin.
chat offline. So thanks everybody for tuning in.